The following is an archive of an Area Radio live broadcast that was originally broadcast from downtown Frederick at Colonial Jewelers, and we hope you enjoy this broadcast. It's brought to you by the Area Guides Network and Frederick.com, as well as AreaRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoy.
It looks like John Fiesler just came in. I'm sitting up ensconced in the new loft here at Colonial Jewelers, and we were able to get a bird's eye view of John Fiesler entering before he saw that we were here. That's kind of neat. You know, you don't get the one-up on John Fiesler very often, but we spotted him before he spotted us. So here he comes. Come on in, John. Have a seat. I know you're on a schedule. So we're live right now, and we're going to be archiving this, of course.
Good to see you again, John.
By the way, we do have a couple of shows that we recorded last fall that are archived on Frederick.com. Just go to Frederick.com and put in keyword tourism, and you'll find out information about that show. The theme today is quality of life, Frederick County, Maryland, and the city of Frederick. And I think tourism and the what attracts people from a tourism standpoint is also probably what attracts some of the people to come here and live. And I would guess that some people probably come here as a tourist and end up wanting to live here. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, some do. When you look at the sheer numbers, most come and then go back home, and that's really what we encourage. The value of tourism to a community is when folks who live other places come, spend their dollars, and go back home, and we don't have to build schools for their kids or extend sewer lines to their houses or whatever, but we get the benefit of their dollars in the economy. But you're right. Some can't help but fall in love with this community and choose to make it their home.
Now, can we touch on the top, let's say, four or five reasons why people come to Frederick County, Maryland, as
sure.
a tourist?
In some ways depends where they're coming from. So if you look at our immediate neighbors in the metropolitan areas surrounding Baltimore and Washington, very often they may come just for shopping or dining. Mm-hmm. You know, not a trip that's planned well in advance, but spur of the moment, and that's great for us. Downtown Frederick is really our largest attraction, but it's for a variety of reasons. For some folks, it's the art, the architecture, the history. For others, it's the shopping and dining, just the ambiance of being in the downtown. Just today, I was going through the comments. We have a comment box in the visitor center, and every so often I remember to look in there, and I was catching up on a number of them, and it's just remarkable how many people just comment on how beautiful the city is, beautiful and historic. I see those terms over and over again, and so that's one of those things you can take for granted just walking down the street here without thinking of any specific site, is that people just enjoy being here. And so that's for the immediate region. As you get further away, we see history and outdoor recreation be the top draws, and even further away, halfway across the country or other countries, typically it's history, and specifically our Civil War history is something that people will travel a great distance for. And then also in the northern part of the county, the religious shrines that we have, I mean, attract visitors from all around the world. The National Shrine to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, the National Shrine Grotto of Lourdes, you'll find just a remarkable variety of people up there any time of the year. So, as I said, it sort of depends where they're coming from, and that's a great position for us to be in, is that we're not reliant on just one audience or one type of attraction.
Now, you mentioned time of the year. I know fall is a very busy time of the year for you. What about spring?
We are pretty busy spring right through the holidays. You know, in the shoulder seasons, as we call them, it's more likely to be the weekends. As you get into summer, you know, any day of the week when you've got families on vacation and all that. But, you know, knock on wood, the early months are real weather dependent. We will get real busy with short-term, you know, cabin fever kind of, it's a nice day and folks want to get out, but it's very weather dependent. Once we get into April, it starts to get pretty consistently busy and it'll stay, you know, weekends you can count on being busy right on. It'll dip slightly in mid-November, picks up again Thanksgiving right on through the holidays, and then, you know, slows down for January, February.
Now, it seems like events are also a draw, and it seems like to me that a lot of the big events are in the fall. Do you have any big events that are in the springtime that are draws tourism-wise?
You're right. The month of October is the busiest month of the year, just in terms of sheer volume of events. That's coupled with the fact that, or it's because of the fact that, obviously, you still have nice weather. You get a lot of the traditional fall festival, harvest festival kinds of events going on top of just regular events where folks are looking for a weekend when the weather's still nice. So I think those all combine to make that the busiest month of the year. But we're pretty busy, I'd say, from about the first weekend of May on. We're seeing more and more events in April. This, you know, as you know, you know, this time of year, you can have any kind of weather. I was out mowing the lawn the other day thinking, you know, I swear it was just days ago I was looking at the same view and it was snow, you know, and now it's the green grass and forsythia blooming and all that in April as we sit here today. So May, I think, is consistently when folks will start, you know, like the marathon, for instance, has moved to May. The first year it was the last weekend of March and it snowed. They will slow down a little bit in the summertime because of vacations and travel and all that. So I would say, you know, May, early June, September, October are real big event months. But when you look at the calendar of events for Frederick County, we have an amazing number of things going on. I mean, I knew that from the days when I used to be on the radio and we would read the announcements, you know, and there was no shortage of them. We had a big box of index cards, and you would rotate through and hardly ever see the same one come up again because there were so many things. I didn't have a context to put that in until I got into this job at the Tourism Council and started traveling around to not only other parts of this state but surrounding states as well, to realize that you really have to go to a large city to find as busy of a calendar of events as we have here. So there's always something to do and multiple things to choose from.
Now, we were talking earlier when you first came about quality of life and why people would choose to come here and things like this, and I know you have to run to get to an appointment, but I just wanted to ask you, how long have you been, you're a resident of Frederick County, correct?
I actually live right on the Frederick Carroll County line.
Okay, and how long have you been in this general vicinity?
1979, so 28 years.
What drew you up here? Where did you relocate from?
I grew up in New Jersey, probably about a half an hour outside of New York City, which is where I went to school. I was a communication major and looking for a job in radio when I got out of school. And I couldn't find anything around the New York metropolitan area. I wasn't expecting to as a new graduate, so started looking around. And at that point, WFMD, one of the local stations, was hiring, and it was for a part-time position, like, you know, once a week on Sunday nights, but it was, you know, a real radio job, and so that brought me here, and I would play the oldies on Sunday nights, and, you know, one thing led to another to where I was offered a full-time position there pretty quickly, and reached the point, I changed, I stayed at the same station, but changed jobs a couple times, so on the air spinning 45s. You remember what those are, Craig?
No, sure.
And that was a whole different skill. I look at the equipment you have in front of you, and that's come along since I was ever on the air. But I must say I really developed the knack for looking at the needle on a 45, determining if there was enough time to run down the hall and get another cup of coffee and get back before the song stopped. did that, was program director, worked in news, and in the news department, really got to know the community pretty well. Went to a lot of the meetings of the mayor and the aldermen back in what's now the first floor of Brewer's Alley. That was City Hall, and the mayor and board met in the back room there now. And at that time, metal folding chairs, no air conditioning. So it's really a treat to go back there now and have a nice cold drink and comfortable meal, comfortable chair. Saw some of the early plans for Carroll Creek Park when they were just, you know, laid out on paper on Ron Young's desk up in the old City Hall. Enjoyed this community and decided I was more likely to stay here than stay in radio and move around the country, as so many people do.
Sure, sure. Well, we're glad you stayed, and I know that you have to run. And the website address, if folks want more information on tourism, your website?
FrederickTourism.org.
Okay, very good. Thanks, John Fiesler.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to go to a short break here, and then we've got Gene Wright coming right at you. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
I'm David Teachers.
Okay, we are still here at Colonial Jewelers in downtown Frederick County, Maryland, USA, right in the heart of downtown Frederick, Maryland. And we have Gene Wright here. And Gene, you're affiliated with St. John Regional Catholic School. But before we get into that, how long have you been in this area? Do you live in the county, in Frederick County?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and how long have you been here?
We'll be here 14 years this summer.
Okay, and where did you relocate from?
From the Philadelphia area.
Okay, all right. We have John Fiesler from New Jersey, and now we have one from Philadelphia.
Isn't it amazing? People come from everywhere.
I'll tell you what, they sure do, and they seem to stay. And we're going to find out why right now. Why did you stay in this area?
Well, we were raising our family. We had a young family at the time, and my husband's job brought us down this direction, and we liked the atmosphere of Frederick. We could have lived in Montgomery County, but we chose to live in Frederick County, even though we work in Montgomery County, and we really liked the family-centered atmosphere here in Frederick, and we've seen a lot of growth since we've been here, so it's really been great because we've grown with Frederick in the past 14 years. There's been a lot happening here.
Now, speaking of growth, you opened up a new school.
We did.
The previous school was right here in downtown Frederick.
That's right.
And how long was it located there?
There were two buildings there for a span of 175 years.
Wow.
So we have a strong tradition here in downtown Frederick.
It's not a fly-by-night organization.
No, it's not. Many generations of families that have sent their children to our school.
Okay. And now you're in a unique position where you work at the school.
Yes.
And what is your position there?
Director of Institutional Advancement, which is a development and admissions role that I play.
Okay. But you also have a son that goes to school there.
Right, and my daughter graduated last year.
Your daughter graduated last
year. So we have been through the school. This is probably my, 10th year now at the school, first serving as a parent, volunteer, and then becoming an employee of the school.
So you have real firsthand knowledge that the system works.
It does.
Okay. Now, speaking of your son, he's involved in a radio show, I understand, on AreaRadio.com.
Yes, he's been one of the announcers a few times.
And this is every Wednesday at 10:30.
Wednesdays at 10:30, yes.
And they can find out more information on AreaRadio.com, and there's also the links to some of your archive shows, some of your previous
Absolutely.
Shows and so forth. Does your son want to say hi to our listeners?
Well, actually, these are my son's friends.
Your son's friends?
Yes.
Oh, he didn't make it. Okay, well, then they're going to have to hear him on Wednesday. Will he be there Wednesday?
He may or may not be. There are over 600 students at St. John's. Everyone gets a turn. That may not be his week this week, but, you know, he may be. He's on one of the archive shows, I know that. At least two of them.
Okay. Now, anything else you want to say about the quality of life of Frederick and so on, and why you stay here, events, the historic atmosphere, anything that really grabs you?
I learned more about the history here by actually working at a local historic landmark, which is the Rose Hill Manor. A few years ago, I worked there as a docent, and I learned so much more about Frederick because, as you may or may not know, our first governor of Maryland lived here during his retirement years. Mm-hmm. And so that home where he lived in has been retained, and it is still available for children and families to go visit.
Right.
So I learned so much more about Frederick just by working there for a few years and learning the history of the area, and all the cultural parts of it too have really been interesting to me living here as a family.
Great. Well, we appreciate the fact that you could stop by today, and hopefully, God willing, we'll have an archive of this show up as well, and we'll send you an email.
That sounds great.
That's it. Let you know. Kent, anything else you want to say before we take a break and go to the next segment?
Just want to remind everybody to listen to the St. John Regional Catholic School program every Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. A great reflection of how good Catholic education is.
All right. Absolutely. I'm sure they'll do that. And we'll go to another quick break here. We'll be right back. Here at Colonial Jewelers in Frederick, Maryland, USA. And we have a special treat for you. We have Amy here from the City of Frederick Special Events. And you're going to talk a little bit about events here in Frederick. We touched base with John Fiesler earlier in the show about some of the great events that happen in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're going to get an idea of what happens before then.
mm-hmm. we'll go right on into the fall. But before we do that, you've been working for the, is it actually the city, or is this an organization that's affiliated with the city?
Well, that's a very good question. I actually work for the City of Frederick's Office of Special Events, and we have a partnership with a nonprofit organization called Celebrate Frederick. And Celebrate Frederick is the actual entity that is made up of over 100 volunteers and sponsors who contribute to the programs that actually is the housing organization over the events. And we have a partnership with the city, and our office and the staff administers the programs. So it's kind of a unique partnership.
Okay. And specifically, you help organize some of these events that really do draw people from the region.
Exactly.
To come up to Frederick.
We organize 13 events a year that draw over 200,000 people annually to Frederick.
Wow.
And the great thing about our programs is that many of the events have been happening for over 20 years. In the Street, which is coming up in October, celebrates its 25th anniversary in October, so we are so excited. We're actually extending the program to kick off on Friday night on Carroll Creek with the Deanna Bogart Band, and just have some live entertainment free to the public. We also like to let the public know that we do try to keep the events free or low cost so that anyone in the community is able to come out and enjoy these programs.
I know the In the Street Festival, I've been there for several years now.
There are a lot of pictures of it on Frederick.com.
Hundreds and hundreds of pictures. That's right. If you go to Frederick.com, keyword In the Street, you'll find a bunch of pictures and maybe some videos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I know that event is free.
It's free.
And just the place is packed.
It's packed.
And there's a bunch of goodies that a bunch of the sponsors give out.
That's right.
They even give you bags to carry all the stuff away in.
That's right.
Candy, pens and pencils.
It's like trick or treat.
It's better than trick or treat. It's even cooler stuff.
Well, this year, what's even cooler is that we're actually implementing a new element to the festival. We're having, I don't want to say it's called Shopping Block yet, but we're inviting local artisans to come and showcase their wares, so you'll be able to pick up some additional items this year. We're just always looking at new ways of featuring new programs within our events, because again, they have been happening for so long, and we just want to continue to offer an outstanding program to the community.
Yeah, that's change is often good.
Exactly.
Especially when it comes to events, you know, new things that you can do.
Right.
Now, we skipped forward to fall again. I keep skipping forward to fall for some reason. I'm sure you have some events coming up before then.
We do. We are pretty much crazy in the office right now, gearing up for the summer.
Oh, yay.
But our season officially begins in May. We have our annual Beyond the Garden Gates Garden Tour, and that's on Saturday, May 19th, and Sunday, May 20th. And that tour features public gardens and private gardens and historic districts. And visitors can purchase tickets for $15. And that is one event that actually has a price tag to it. But we give back to the community. We donate money to a city beautification project. Mm-hmm. But you can purchase tickets beginning on May 1st at various locations downtown, like the Tourism Council, the Grapevine, Flights of Fancy. And you can tour these magnificent gardens. You look at some of these row homes downtown, and you never imagine what the backyard looks like until you see it. You can't even imagine that they have much of a backyard, but it's beautiful and it's very unique.
Uh-huh. You mentioned the Grapevine. You know, have you been in the back of the Grapevine?
Right.
It's an incredible garden back there.
And that's exactly what you'll find on the Beyond the Garden Gates Garden Tour. So
now the Grapevine is probably not part of the tour.
No, but they are selling tickets.
Okay.
They're proud sponsors
at Frederick.com.
When you go to buy the ticket from them, you can probably take a look at that garden.
There you go.
I bet Michael let you back there.
He'll let him back, absolutely. Okay, so we have that. What was the date again?
May 19th and May 20th, and that event is held rain or shine.
Now, if you're listening to an archived version of this show, this is in the spring of 2007.
Yes.
Right.
So if you're not listening to this show in the spring of 2007, what is it, April, what's today's date?
April 24th.
24th. And you're listening to an archived version
Hey, Craig,
of the show.
You know, asking the date from someone is one of the tests of sanity.
Well, I never know the date. So what does that mean?
I'm in trouble.
Okay. The garden
tour
is the first one.
The first event.
Okay. By the way, what website do they go to? What's your website to go to for more information on that?
It's celebratefrederick.com, and bear with us. We're actually creating a brand new website for Celebrate Frederick, which we're very, very excited about.
Okay.
It'll officially be launched in the middle of summer, but if you visit that website, which is right now connected to the City of Frederick's website, you'll get the basic information of the dates and times and where to purchase tickets and things like that.
But and that's actually accessible through frederick.com through the community pages, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, and also, if you go and keyword any of these things, like garden tour or whatever, you'll find articles about these with links. So,
sure.
So you'll be able to get to them that way as well. Now, okay, so that one's in May.
That was in May.
What's after that?
Well, in June, one of my favorite events, because it was one of the first events that I got to work and plan when I arrived in Frederick, but is the Summer Concert Series. And that begins on June 10th, and it continues every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock through August 26th. And every evening we feature a different genre of music. This year we have everything from Latin to classic rock to hip-hop to bluegrass. And again, a free event. And visitors come out. It's amazing the community support that we get. Visitors bring canned food items in lieu of admission to benefit the food bank. We make a donation every week to the Frederick Food Bank.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
I mean, just the unique part of summer concert is that families come, get to hang out in the lawn and pitch a blanket and a picnic and listen to free live music. And every year we, you know, are able to, through our sponsorships, are able to continue to offer quality music to the community. So we're very excited about that.
And it's such an important part of making the feeling of community to listen to that cultural heritage of Frederick.
Right.
Reflected in so many different ways, like you said, the different genres of music.
Right. And the summer concert, we have committees of volunteers who meet to help plan these events. And, you know, we were having a big discussion of how long this event has actually been happening. I mean, some argue that it started in the 40s with some 1940s with some bands in the band shell, and then it continued in the 70s under Ron Young with his admin assistant planning some bands.
Well, actually, you can probably go back to the American Civil War when the United States Army bands were serenading everyone here in downtown Frederick.
That's true.
Kent, we're going to take a quick break here. Can you hang in for a couple minutes, 4 minutes? We're going to be right back with Amy. Stand by. Okay, we're still here live at Colonial Jewelers in the United States of America, specifically Frederick County, Maryland. And we actually also have Kent Courtney here.
Hey,
who hosts the Kent Courtney Show every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. He's a music historian. You don't have your guitar, though. You can't do a song for us.
It's actually in my truck. I could get it.
It's in your truck. Well, I'll tell you what. What I would like to end this segment with is your little history lesson on the Maryland State Song.
I could do
and
that.
A little run through of that song. That's very interesting.
Why don't
we continue the segment with Amy, and can you get the
guitar get
while
my
we're
guitar.
Doing this?
Faster than a cat grabbing a hot poke cake.
Absolutely. There we go. We're going to have a special treat for you by Kent Courtney. And Amy, we were talking about, before we took the last break, we were talking about one of your favorite events that happens in June.
In June, July, and August.
And that is the summer concert.
Correct.
Series. And that's free.
That's free.
Do people donate a canned good or something? Is that
a canned food item in lieu of admission to benefit the food bank?
Okay. And that's always great to have that. Just come and bring a canned food item. Do you know who's coming this year? Do you have a heads up on some of that?
I do.
Okay.
I can run quickly down the bands if you'd like me to.
Absolutely.
The series starts on June 10th, and forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, it's Incendio, it's a Latin band. On June 17th, 106.9 The Eagle presents Transfusion, it's a classic
now,
rock.
Now, are these normally Saturday evenings?
Sundays.
Sunday.
Every Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Because since this will be archived and so on, and people who listen, they'll be thinking about this date, well, that's not a Sunday this year, so these dates are for 2007.
Correct.
But you'll do this next summer for 2008,
right.
And they're always going to be on a Sunday evening.
Correct.
So as long as people map out their Sunday evenings, then they're going to have some good entertainment in Baker Park.
Right. It always starts normally the second week in June and continues every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock through the end of August.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on through. You stopped at Oldies,
the Eagle.
106. It used to be the Oldies
station. I know they did.
Yep. Okay.
Do you want me to continue with the dates?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. June 24th, we have the Tom Principato Band. It's blues.
On July 1st, we have a band that's coming back. They were so popular last year that we had just were inundated with phone calls about them. They're called Railroad Earth. Mm-hmm. Their genre is Newgrass, so we're very excited to bring them back to Baker Park. July 8th, Janine Wilson Band, Roots Rock. July 15th, we have a reggae band coming called Soja. July 22nd is the David Bach Consort, that's jazz. On July 29th, we have a new genre of music being featured this year. It's a hip-hop band called Solstice, and they were actually up for a Grammy Award this year, so we're tickled about that. August 5th, we have Red Molly, which is a bluegrass band. August 12th, ComStar Federal Credit Union presents Great Train Robbery. They're a classic rock band that actually played our 4th of July festival last year.
Oh, excellent.
August 19th, 99.9 WFRE will actually present a new country showcase. And on the 26th of August, which is our final show, we have a Zydeco band called the Crawdaddies.
Okay.
So every year we feature, every night we try to feature a different genre of music, and every year we keep changing it up to keep it fresh and exciting for the community.
Now these are every Sunday evening.
Right.
You have something going on Saturdays usually at Baker Park as well.
We do.
What goes on Saturday?
Actually, beginning in July and continuing every Saturday through the end of August is our Summerfest Family Theater. This year it's actually going to start at 6 o'clock because it's a family event, and our committee thought, let's start it an hour earlier so the kids can get home and still get to bed.
Sure.
But Summerfest is a program that we feature live entertainment, music, puppets, magicians, all sorts of things every Saturday night for families to come out, again, for free, mm-hmm. to just to enjoy live performances in the Baker Park band shell.
Okay. And I was there one time, there was a clown there.
Right.
So you just mix it up.
We mix it up.
And again, can they go to your website and see what's happening any given Saturday night?
They can. CelebrateFrederick.com will have all of our events listed and the dates and the times.
Okay. So when you said you do 11 events?
13
events during the year. You're not counting each individual?
No.
Okay. So that's, you're just counting as one event,
right.
The concert series, for example.
Right.
All right. So we've only talked about a few events so far.
Right.
What are the other big ones?
The other big ones, to kind of keep it in order, in June we do Summer Night Cinema, which is a fairly new program. It's the inflatable movie screen in the middle of the park.
Yep.
And we show a free outdoor movie. This year we're actually doing like a mini film festival. We're doing three nights in June 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and featuring a different type of movie every evening. And we're really excited about it this year.
I was there for Grease one time.
Right.
Yeah,
so
that was
it's been a lot of fun.
So that is going to be how many dates are you doing?
Three nights in June.
Okay, just in the month of June.
Just in the month of June.
Okay. All right. So that's one more. So what else is next?
What's next is July 4th in Baker Park, which is one of our biggest events besides In the Street.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, again, we'll have four stages of music. We have a main stage and a country stage. We're actually going to continue the festivities longer this year, up until the fireworks at dusk. Mm-hmm. And we have about 70,000 people who attend that event annually.
Wow.
So we'd love for everyone to come out and join us. Free activities for the kids, music, food, fun all day long until the fireworks, approximately 9:30 the fireworks go off on July 4th.
Okay. So that's 4th of July.
4th of July.
So you have anything else in the month of July?
We don't.
Okay. So
besides Summerfest, which will continue every Saturday, and Summer Concert every Sunday.
Okay. And so then, well, wait a minute now. Saturday, I thought the Saturday night, it's the cinema that's only
in
during
June.
Right,
and Summerfest starts in July.
Okay. And so then, after July 4th, anything in August?
Again, the Summerfest and Summer Concert will continue. Then at the end of the month, on August 25th, we have a carnival that kind of precedes Summerfest. And it's 3 hours long, free activities for the kids, everything from moon bounces to pony rides to live entertainment.
Okay.
So that'll kind of end the summer.
And that's on August 25th?
On August 25th, yes. It's a Saturday. It's either the 25th or 26th.
Okay.
Um, And then the next big one is in the street. And as I mentioned before, we're actually expanding that event this year to start on Friday night with a kickoff along Carroll Creek Linear Park. Mm-hmm. And that's Friday, October 5th.
Okay. And the in the street, is it a particular day each year? Like, is it the
first Saturday in October?
First Saturday in October every year. So people can just remember that. First Saturday, just set that aside for in the street.
First Saturday in October, and celebratefrederick.com will give you all the details.
Okay. And in the street has functions all day long, and then they have kind of more adult-oriented things to do later in the evening.
Correct. We have an on-the-deck party, which is a live band on top of one of our parking decks. And we have some refreshments and food, and we have a small cover charge. And this year we're actually going to feature two bands. We're deciding on those two bands right now, but it's a fabulous time because you get to sit on top of the parking deck and see the city. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Okay. Well, thanks for stopping by,
Thank
Amy.
You.
And I hope that the weather holds up for all your events this year.
Me too.
And we'll all be there. We'll all be there and have a blast. We're probably going to take the Frederick.com segue to some of the events. We had it there a couple years ago on some of the events, and the kids love it.
Good.
You know what a segue is, right?
Yes, I see you out there all the
personal
time.
Personal human transporter.
We thank you for doing
gadget,
that.
You know? All right, you've got looks like a solid mahogany guitar there.
Yes, it is.
And is this one of the guitars you use on the Kent Courtney show?
Yes, it is. It's a Martin.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get right into it. We're talking about quality of life in Maryland and so on and so forth. Let's talk about the Maryland State Song.
Well, you know, you talk about quality of life. There's been a great quality of life in Maryland for a long time. And one of the things that I've noticed about people from Maryland is that they tend to be very intense and very passionate about what it is they do. I think that's why there's so many activities that go on in Frederick. But in the beginning of the American Civil War, back in April of 1861, there was a call for troops to come into Washington, D.C., possibly be forwarded down into Virginia and the southern states to squash what was becoming a rebellion of the southern states. And Abraham Lincoln called for troops, and naturally enough, those troops would have to come from the north, and they'd have to pass through Maryland to go south. And so in doing that, what they would do is pass through Baltimore from one railroad station to another. And coming from Philadelphia, Wilmington, and Baltimore Railroad Station to the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad Station, they had to go down Pratt Street. And in doing that, a lot of people that were from Baltimore did not like the idea of United States troops being brought down to suppress a rebellion of United States citizens. They thought that was wrong, to quell that rebellion at the point of the barrel of a gun. And so what they decided to do was just blockade the railroad cars that were being dragged down Pratt Street. And so as they did that, they decided to march the troops around the barricade, and some shots were fired. Accounts vary, but 15, 16 people were killed, at least 30 people were wounded. And one of the people killed was the roommate of a person who was teaching down in Louisiana at Poydras College in Point Coupee, but he was actually from Maryland. And when he heard the death of his former roommate, he was terribly saddened, and he wrote a poem called Maryland. Well, that was published in the New Orleans Bee, one of the newspapers there at the time, and it quickly spread back up to Baltimore. And they started to look at this, and they realized that this would make a great song if you only changed the words around a little bit. And when they changed it to Maryland, My Maryland, they put it to the tune of O Tannenbaum or O Christmas Tree. It became the state song of Maryland in about the 1930s, and it remains so to this very day. The despot's seal is on my shore, Maryland, my Maryland. His torch is at thy temple door, Maryland, my Maryland. Avenge the patriotic war that flecked the streets of Baltimore, and in the battle green of yore, Maryland, my Maryland.
All right. Now, and that's the type of thing that you learn about music history on the Kent Courtney show.
That's right.
Every Wednesday from 8 to 9, and what's really neat is Kent will talk about a song, and then he'll actually perform the song, which is really entertaining.
Here, let me give the mic back to you. We're going to go to a break, and we will be right back here at Colonial Jewelers.
Yeah, brought to you by Frederick.com, the place to find things in Frederick.
Oh, you might want to mention a few of your sponsors.
Oh, we've got a lot of sponsors. We're talking about Grapevine. They're one of the sponsors of Frederick.com as well as AreaRadio.com. Also, Southern States Petroleum. Now's the time of year to start thinking about giving your air conditioning system a tune-up, especially as we become more and more energy conscious. And tuning up your air conditioning system can make it operate that much more efficiently. And the people at Southern States Cooperative can do that for you. Give them a call. You can find them on Frederick.com.
All right, and you want to run down a quick list of some of the other businesses that they can find, the ones that joined
sure.
recently?
Okay, well, of course, Urbana Dance has been around for a while, but they're near the top of the list. Also, we'd like to welcome the Alter Ego Hair Design Studio. They've got some great ideas for doing people's hair. And the way they do it over there is they think of you in terms of a business look and in terms of a funky weekend look. So that's the Alter Ego. Also, Zbop is a great place to go if you want some funky clothes for that weekend fun time. And they're right on Frederick.com.
Hold on 1 second, because this sounds like this is a long list. Amy, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me.
And remember, celebratefrederick.com.
Exactly.
Celebratefrederick.com.
Thank you.
That sounds like that's easy to remember. And also, go to frederick.com if you want to check out any of these events. There's a big events icon. And we have an events calendar that we try to get most of these events on there. So enjoy.
Thank you.
Hey.
Continue, Kent. Continue.
Well, since we're downtown, I could talk a little bit about some of the places that are downtown as part of Frederick.com, including brand spankin' new Carroll Creek Antiques. We're just getting some of their stuff on, and so they have a website in the progress of construction right now. And also Fabulous Finds is on Frederick.com. Fabulous Finds has a lot of great stuff. They're a very advanced form of consignment shop, and so they get a lot of really high-quality things there. And Beans and Bagels, oh, man, if you want to get some good breakfast, or you're on the go, going to work in downtown Frederick, Beans and Bagels is a good chance to pick up some great stuff. And for lunch, they've got things like croissant sandwiches. Oh, excellent stuff. Beans and Bagels also on Frederick.com. And if you're working over by Thomas Johnson, the place to get coffee or tea is Loco Johnny's. They have some really delicious stuff over there. And they're right next to Henning's Restaurant. Now, Henning's Restaurant got selected as one of the number one restaurants in Frederick. In fact, I think they're the number one new restaurant in Frederick by Frederick Magazine. And so Henning's has got great German cuisine. They make their own schnitzel and they have a lot of great food there. So be sure and come by Henning's and find out what the German cuisine is all about. And while you're there, Brainstorm Comics is a place to look at different comics right at Thomas Johnson. And if you're down by Bucky's Town Pike, Beyond Comics is a place to check out a comic store. So lots of good things are happening on Frederick.com, and all of these people are not only sponsors of Frederick.com, but they help us out with AreaRadio.com also. So you can listen to AreaRadio.com 24/7. They've got some wonderful music on the radio station, and they've also got locally originated programming. And you get to hear low-key announcements. You know, the commercials that they have on AreaRadio.com aren't like the frenetic ones you often hear in what they call commercial radio, but they're low-key informational kind of commercials that introduce you easily into what a business might be doing right here in Frederick.
Well, that all sounds great, Kent. We're going to go to another break. We're going to play a little bit of music here, and then hopefully we'll have another guest here shortly, and then we'll be wrapping up for the day.
Oh, yay!
All right, so just hang in there. We'll be right back with you here. This is Area Radio, AreaRadio.com. And we're still here live at Colonial Jewelers in Frederick, Maryland, USA. And we have a very special guest here, and we're going to talk about something special going on here at Colonial Jewelers. There's always special things going on. We have Sarah here, and we're up in this loft area, which I was in here about a week or two ago,
And I noticed a little sign or something there, and it looked like something was going on, and one of your sales associates was nice enough to show me up here and said something about something special for brides.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, we're putting this front loft area is going to be a little bridal area where brides can come, do research on the computer, design their own ring, just kind of take a break from the whole process if he's along and he'd like to maybe take care of some business and wouldn't like her around. But there, we're going to have lots of information from different bridal vendors, photographers, wedding dress people, tuxedos, information and specials for brides up here. And then in the back room, we're going to have a lounge for just for the guys, although the women are allowed in there too. But we'll have a big screen TV and sofa and a bar. So the guys want to take a break while she shops. They can do that as well.
So this is just for anyone that comes in and that's shopping for maybe an engagement ring or whatever.
Sure,
they can
not just
kind
engagement.
Of enjoy the facilities here.
Exactly. Our customers are the most important thing to us, so we want them to be comfortable and happy at all times. And we think that having a little lounge area might just do that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a great idea.
Absolutely. Are you going to have cappuccino or?
We're going to have some sort of beverages, coffee, cappuccino, sodas, maybe some wine, depending on the time of day. And we'll be able to serve that to them. People will also be able to self-serve. We're still in the planning stages of that.
Wow. Now, I see this balcony is what, about 25 feet by maybe 12 or 14 feet, something like that?
Something like that.
What? To compare, what size is the room on the other side of the door?
It's about the size,
about
same,
the same size.
Exactly.
Okay, so good amount of space here.
Yes.
That you're giving over to this, and this is prime downtown. If you haven't been to Colonial Jewelers, this is right in downtown. You can't get any more downtown than this.
One of the
this
few places you can say at the corner of Patrick and Market Street.
Yes, that's
right.
True. On the square corner.
That's right. And beautiful building here. When was this building originally built? It was a bank, correct?
It was built in the early 1900s. It was a bank. It was a couple different banks throughout the years. We purchased it in 1998 and renovated it. We're able to leave a lot of the existing structure. The vault, for example, we used to put all our jewelry away at night.
Great idea.
Yeah, it worked out great. We moved our jewelry cases in and then, of course, did a lot of design things to make it not feel like a bank, to feel like a retail space.
Mm-hmm. And you were right across the street for many years.
We were across the street for 48 years.
Wow. Not a fly-by-night business. And especially when you're buying jewelry, this is a big investment, and it's something that you're probably going to keep a lifetime in many cases.
Right, exactly.
I would think you want to deal with an organization that's been around and that's going to be around.
Right, it's very important, and it's very important after the purchase to be able to have the service, and we really pride ourselves with excellent customer service, and anytime you need to have your jewelry repaired or cleaned or just checked to make sure everything's okay, you can walk in here and feel comfortable asking us. Some people have been alerted by the internet and they're, rock-bottom prices, but they have to remember that after the point of the sale, they kind of forget about you, so...
Not to mention the fact there's the trust factor. If you're going to buy something over the internet, like how do you know what the quality of the diamond is? I'm not an expert in diamonds. And if I were to, find a diamond to purchase, I may say, oh, this, really glitters a lot. But I would want to have somebody that I really trusted tell me, is this a worthwhile investment? Is this something that I should get? And that has a value to it also.
Right. We have a lot, since we offer appraisal services, a lot of people, especially in the last few years, have been bringing in things they bought on the internet, and most of them leave pretty disappointed with their purchase that they had made, because oftentimes some of the specs will line up, but maybe the cut isn't very well, isn't well cut, and that's what makes the most difference.
There's always something that's the hiccup in the thing.
Exactly. There's a reason it's cheap,
Now, how do you, when you all select your diamonds, I mean, they're so small. I'm sure you can use magnification and all of that, but how do you really know? How does somebody really know the quality of that diamond?
Well, my father is a GIA, Gemological Institute of America, certified graduate gemologist.
Okay.
I'm almost one. I'm one exam away.
Oh, wow.
And they go through many things with colored stone grading, gem identification, but also diamond grading. And a lot of it is a trained eye looking at it through magnification. We have special light graders that we use to check proportions, obviously measure a lot of different angles, and then as far as the color, we have master stones we compare them to, which are actual diamonds in the in the color range from D to, it goes back to, around to M, and you compare it to those.
Wow. So I guess you start with a good source.
Yes.
And then you kind of confirm that what they've given you is what they said it was.
Exactly. And every call we have for stones, or any stone that comes in for stock, my dad or myself, we look at it and make sure it's well cut, make sure it's something that we want to put our name on. And we may get five stones in and actually only end up showing the customer one, because the one is, you know, the best.
And the others go back.
Wow. Exactly.
So where do you get your stones from?
We get our stones from site holders in New York City. Mm-hmm. We have a close working relationship with them that we've been dealing with them for years. It's a business that's obviously based a lot on credibility and trust.
Right.
They're
right.
Sending you diamonds, yeah. And they know, you know, they trust you, and you have trade ratings and with your credit scores, just like you would in the consumer market.
Wow. I bet you do.
Now, your business here, what percentage of it is diamonds versus other? You sell watches here. You're an authorized Rolex dealer, correct?
We are an authorized
Rolex dealer. And
Omega? We no longer carry Omega. We sell Rolex, Raymond Weil, and Tissot. We are an authorized service provider for Omega and Tag Heuer.
Yeah, I bought
all
my Omega
watches
from you all some years back, and you replaced the battery in it twice for me.
Sure,
and
we can do all of that stuff still.
Yeah.
Now, what's an entry-level Rolex cost nowadays?
About $2,500 for an all-stainless. You can get reconditioned Rolexes, which are kind of like pre-worn, like a used car would be, mm-hmm. and you save a lot there.
You sell those here?
We do, because we take Rolexes as trade-ins.
Good.
If you buy anything you buy here in our store, you can always trade in later.
Okay.
So if you buy a Rolex, you can trade it in towards a more expensive Rolex, or a larger one, or just a newer one.
Wow.
So the amount we have fluctuates depending on what people have traded in.
Yeah. Okay. So you have the watches, you have the diamonds. What's another big category of items that you have?
Colored stone jewelry is becoming very popular.
Okay.
It's fashionable. You can get colored stone jewelry that has a nice big look for a lower price now, but still
now,
really good quality.
Now, what stones would this include?
This includes everything from the big three, ruby, sapphire, emerald, down to more affordable stones, such as the quartzes, which is citrine and amethyst, rose quartz, lime quartz, also other gems.
And some of these are still relatively durable, where somebody can use them in jewelry? And
definitely. Most of the gemstones you can use in jewelry. So a lot of it has to do with whether you should, you should wear it working out necessarily, or you shouldn't wear them in the pool because of the chemicals.
Okay.
But most jewelry, I would say with the exception of opal's probably more fragile than pearl, but most faceted stones you can wear.
Jewelry should be cleaned properly, correct?
Yes.
And if they buy the jewelry from you and they stop by here from time to time, would you clean a diamond ring, for example, for them?
We'd be glad to clean any jewelry that comes from here or doesn't come from here.
You have
here.
Some kind of a special...
We have an ultrasonic cleaner,
okay.
which really vibrates all the dirt off there, and then we give it a good scrubbing. Well, actually, first we check all the stones to make sure there's no loose stones,
right.
because you wouldn't want to lose them in the cleaner. And that's also part of the service. You should have your jewelry checked every 6 months, because over time stones can lose.
Now, can you do, let me give you an example, can you do an ultrasonic, or whatever you called that, cleaning on that?
Yeah, on your Rolex. You can put a Rolex completely in the water. Actually, it's pretty cool. Anywhere a human being can live, a Rolex can live.
All right, we'll take a break. We're going to test this theory. Can you do that?
Sure, I'll give it.
Take a break, and
yeah,
you bring it
sure.
back, and we'll see if this really works, this special cleaning technique. Can you come back? We're going to take a break for about
sure.
2 or 3 minutes here.
Okay.
And then we'll hopefully get right back with you.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And... now, getting back to, you just did this little cleanup on the watch. You used the ultrasound device.
Yes.
And that just kind of jostles the dirt off and so on and so forth. What other devices do you have
back in the shop that you work with on a regular basis?
We have a laser welder. We have buffing machines. We have a Gravermax. We have rolling mills, draw plates. We can manufacture or make just about anything you want.
Okay. Now, some years back, I had some spare stuff laying around, some old class rings and different things, and I had somebody make that for me. They melted it down and they made that, and they made it. It's a money clip, and they made it so the spring somehow stays there, doesn't mm-hmm. get stretched out.
Yes, they get it worked hard.
Is that the type of thing that you could also do here?
Yes, we can do that.
So you could recycle somebody's older jewelry into something really useful for them?
Yes, sir. We could do that.
And I guess the same thing with diamonds that people have laying around that are in some kind of a dated setting. And
yes,
they
gold's
want to do
gold.
With
we
it.
Can
okay.
melt it down. It doesn't...
We remount diamonds,
gold.
Too.
Yes, we remount diamonds, settings.
So
we do lots of that.
As grandma's brooch or something, and it's something that they don't
they
really
don't,
like the looks of it,
yes.
they can bring it into you, and then you all can come up with a design and
exactly.
something that makes sense for it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And now you say you've been here for doing this for 2 years here?
Yes, sir.
Where were you before that?
I was at, my kids had a shop, Downing's, down on
Jeff
Downing.
Oh, yes. I remember Jeff. Yeah,
yes.
I had some dealings
That's my son.
With Jeff. That was another ex-bank.
Yes.
It had a vault and everything in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you worked with him for how long?
I worked with him for off and on about 10 years.
So you've been in the business a long time?
I've been in it about 15 years now.
And this is something that you just kind of had a knack for and you just picked it up? I mean, it seems like to me it's take a very high level of skill to do the things you do.
I had a knack for it.
Okay.
I did.
And you just started doing it, and you got better and better, and now you're here. This is probably, you probably can't find a better jeweler in town.
Absolutely
to
not.
Work for
this
than
is
Colonial.
Top of the line right here.
And I guess the clientele that you have coming in here, they really do expect the best when they come into Colonial Jewelers.
That's what they get.
Okay, absolutely. Now, is there anything else, any other equipment or any other things that you've done here? What's the most special job you've done? Let's do that. And since you've been here at Colonial 2 years, is there a job that kind of sticks out in your mind?
My engagement ring. No.
Yeah, Sarah's engagement ring. We just did that.
Now, tell us about that ring.
I like that 6-carat diamond. Two diamonds we set.
Those were nice. What, into earrings?
Yes, into earrings.
Now, tell us about that job.
It was a simple job on my end of it, but they were really nice earrings.
Okay.
3 carats in each ear.
And now, where did those diamonds come from? Were those recycled diamonds, or were those diamonds they bought?
They were
here?
New diamonds. We bought in
so
a matched pair.
So they picked
yes.
out a matched pair
yes.
of diamonds, and then they had you all build the setting?
Yes.
Okay, and was that setting platinum, or?
No, they don't generally use platinum for earrings because it's twice as heavy as gold. It's a little heavy.
Okay.
Platinum's a little heavy.
So what did you use? White gold? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
They were done in white gold.
Okay. So that was a beautiful set that you did fairly recently, did you say?
That was last... Yeah, it was last Christmas.
Okay.
Dee Dee does the best job of setting earrings I've ever seen. His earrings are always perfectly straight, nice and low, hug the ear well, and I'm just... very impressed.
Comfortable to wear.
Yeah, very good job.
Now, you mentioned your engagement ring. Is
yes.
that what you're wearing there?
Yes.
And now, he did the setting on that?
Both the guys worked on that. We have another jeweler, too. He's off today. And
that
this was actually my grandmother's setting, and my fiancé got a new center stone for it, and it had a dip. The head is what the diamond sets in, and the head was meant for a marquee diamond, so they had to do some work to make it accommodate around.
I was going to say my mom has a ring that has baguettes
yes,
on either side
yes,
that's
baguettes.
Very similar to that. So that is actually an antique setting you have on there.
It is. It was. I had always said how much I loved my grandmother's setting and how I thought it was just classic and elegant, and I'd love to have something just like it, not even knowing it was still around. And when Steve asked my dad if he could marry me and told him what he liked, my dad said, "I know just the perfect ring," and pulled it out from the back.
Now, if some of our listeners want to see that, they can stop in, and if you're around, you'll
be happy to show. I'd be glad to show.
Okay.
I'm glad to show everybody.
All right. Well, just to wrap up here, we're at Colonial Jewelers, and we're going to have an archive of this event. This show is in the spring of 2007, April, what is today, the 23rd? 24th. So if you're not listening to it on April 24th, then you're listening to an archived version. And thanks for hosting us here today.
Thanks for having us.
And this is our first in a series of shows we'll be doing at different locations here in downtown Frederick. They'll all be available on Frederick.com. Just go to Frederick.com and do keyword radio, and you'll find links to all of the shows. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you.
You didn't stop by. You were here.
You stopped by.
You came back.
I did come back from an appointment.
Okay. Again, thanks for hosting it. And this is also available on arearadio.com. Go to arearadio.com and look in the archive section. You'll find archives to all these great shows. Thanks again. All right. That's a wrap.
Awesome.
Good job.
Thank you, Dee. I got nervous. Got it sweaty. Just turn this off.